All right, so we're back with another episode of Speedy G Podcast. Today we have on elite guest Leah Wallace. She was an alumni at Sac State, which is where I ran, so we're going to have a lot of fun chatting and catching up. Thanks for coming on the show, Leah.
Hey, how's it going, Speedy G?
Yeah, it's going to be fun catching up. The first thing I wanted to talk about was kind of just, you know, your legacy at Sac State. I guess kind of, I've never really spoke to you about high school. So like, how did you... Were you talking to any other school? Were you fast in high school or did you get fast after? How did that all go?
Yeah, so I guess my running journey really began when I was a sophomore in high school. Mm-hmm. I went out for cross country, and that was because my PE teacher at the time saw me always running this timed mile in our PE class, and I would beat the boys, and she was like, you really need to like go out for running.
Right.
And I really was not that interested because I didn't really enjoy the mile that much in PE. So I was just trying to run it as fast as I could because we would get a soda if we were the first person. So that was motivating. And anyways, I eventually caved from her prodding me to go out for cross country. And I did it. And let me tell you, I hated it the very first day. Like, they ran 2 miles, which was more than the 1 mile that we did in PE. So wasn't pumped about that. No one prepared me for that. And I was ready to quit after the very first day. But when I went home and my dad asked me how practice was, and I was like, it was terrible. I never want to do that again. he told me that I had to finish the season because I started it.
Yeah.
So that, props to my dad for that, because let me tell you, if it had been left up to me, we would have been one and done.
Yep.
And kept going out. Eventually, I could run the 2 miles comfortably. And then track season happened, which was a lot more fun, and I actually enjoyed that. So, in a nutshell, I always had some talent, and then once I found the track, my talent really shined through. Like, cross country, even to this, I mean, it's just a struggle bus for me. And even now, as a coach, I tell kids on the cross country team that I know have speed and track talent. I was like, just hang in there; it'll make you better.
That's so fun. Like, I started running when I was like 5, and I still hated cross country in high school. Like, all I wanted to do was track, and the only reason I did cross was because my dad was like, it makes you better at track. And I'm like, all right, whatever. But I hate it.
Right. Yeah. It's character building. It's a lot of it. You know, and there is a lot of value in cross country. I learned so much just about consistency, hard work, discipline, even just evaluating successes when you're not winning a race. It takes a lot to win a cross country race, and I don't think I like ever won one.
Right.
So yeah, like evaluating your successes even when the success is not a big W, you know. Yeah,
totally.
So that being said, I ran some fast track times, and that's what gained my attention from colleges. Mm-hmm. Ran 2:10 in high school and had some scholarship offers that I was able to sign with Cal Poly San Luis Obispo when I was in my senior season. So I ran at Cal Poly for 2 years and just struggled there. Wanted to quit track even. And on the heels of my sophomore year, I just knew I didn't want to go back. And it had nothing really to do with the program. I don't know. Hindsight's 20/20. And I just think I was a young kid, first generation college student, didn't know what I was doing at all. And so I was just floundering there academically and on the track. I wasn't running even what I ran in high school. You know, it was like a struggle to run 2:15.
Right.
When I was graduating, running 210. So I just was ready to be done and figure something else out. I decided I was going to leave and go to the military even. I came from a military family. So my family was more supportive of like a military move than they were even meeting in college. And I always had that in the back where they were like, you know, college isn't for everyone. I never really had that encouragement to like go to college. I always heard the other side, which was like, college isn't, you know, so. Anyways, I started listening to that. That started creeping in, and I left Cal Poly. And Scott Abbott had somehow caught wind of me no longer being at Cal Poly.
Right.
And he gave me a phone call and convinced me to come on a visit to Sac State. And I was like, oh, man, I don't think that I am really cut out for this college thing anymore. I would rather not. Anyways, he just got me on campus. He showed me around. And it was appealing. Like, I left that visit thinking like, wow, okay, maybe I will try this again. So I transfer, and yeah, the rest is history. I thrived at Sac State. It was a completely different experience than when I was at Cal Poly. But a lot of that came from the coach that he was and the influence he was in my life, and just maturing, I think, as a person and as an athlete. So, yeah, that is kind of, I guess, the journey from high school through college, and then I went on to be professional, and that was pretty cool. Saw the world. I don't know.
Yeah, that's awesome. Let's go back real quick, because like my very first memory of you was my sister's trip to Sac State, and like, you know, I tried so hard to get her to go to Sac State, but she's such a homebody, and she went to Fresno State and she had a terrible time and hated it. And, you know, she was like, yeah, I should have went to Sac State. But my first memory of you was you and Nano were doing some like peaking 800 workout. And at the time, like, I hadn't broken two, and you were running like a workout that I don't think I could have hit at the time. And I was just like, what is this school? And like Reese was on the team. I think, I don't even know, like everyone was fast. I think Nano was running like 140. And I was just like, this is so cool. And Allison was really into it, and she kind of just like chickened out and stayed at Fresno State. But that was my first memory of you. So like, we kind of brushed over a little bit. What did you run at Sac State, for those that don't know? And like, you made it to nationals. You made the final at nationals, right?
Yeah, I made the final in both the 800 and the 1500. I doubled that year. And I ran 202 and 409 during the year. So yeah, that was really crazy, because honestly, going into college, you know, I was a 210 girl. I had no idea that I would ever get that close to 2 minutes ever. If someone had told me that you will run 2 minutes in your lifetime, I wouldn't have believed them. So all I even tell the high schoolers that I coach now, which I look at them and there are kids that are way more talented than me, Christian. And not only that, but have now access to all of this information and training and mileage. I didn't have any of that. So I'm like, they can run so fast. You never know what you can do.
Right. Yeah, it's crazy. It's like, so let's talk about a little bit about D1. We kind of got your experience, which I think is good for everyone to hear, because I coach some kids that are like junior college athletes that stopped running for their team because it was going so terribly. And like, there's so many good high school coaches now that there's some kids that had better coaching in high school than they're getting in junior college, which I think is really sad, because for me, junior college was really good and like developmental for me. And so they come to me and they're like, hey, I still want to train. Like, I had this one girl that quit her team. I trained her for 6 months and then she signed with Chico. And so I think it's good for people to hear that someone that was so successful like you still struggled in college, you know? And so I just kind of want to talk about like the difference that having Coach Abbott, you know, take you under his wing, like how that made a difference for you. And It's my opinion that, like, if you can go to a school like Chico, where you know the head coach is a distance coach and they're probably never not going to go there or not go anywhere in your 4 to 5 years that you're there, that you're going to be way more successful. And that's kind of been the struggle. Like, I had two coaches at Sac State and I was there 2 years, you know? And so
yeah,
that's what I always try to advise young kids now is, like, go to a school where the distance coach is the head coach. Like, that's the best thing you can do, because then you're probably safe.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to say, because so much of it is just kind of like, we are just, I think my takeaway, hindsight's 2020, mm-hmm. but the biggest thing that any athlete needs to do is figure out, why are you running, you know, and does this mean enough to you? Does this matter? Are you going to make this work? Because coaches come and go. And even if you are at Sac State, whatever university it is that has a head distance coach at that time, this is still, nothing's guaranteed. So you as an athlete, you still need to figure out, like, why am I here and is it worth it? And I think what I'm thankful for was Scott was really that person that came into my life and impressed that upon me.
Right.
Because even when I transferred to Sac State, I still had some bad habits because I had been a talented athlete that really were to my detriment, that I didn't see, right? Like, we have our own blind spots in our life. We're comfortable with who we are and how we do things. So it's not until sometimes you have someone come beside you and really call you out on your BS that you realize that you even have a BS. So I will say that what any athlete needs in a coach and in a program is just a solid, honest person that will go to bat for you. And hopefully they're the head coach too. Even Scott, he was the assistant. But that consistency, super. I'm just so thankful and so blessed that things worked out for me the way that they did, right?
Right.
You know, because Sac State today is a totally different program than it was when I was there.
Definitely.
And so as a positive as an experience as it was, I can't always vouch for it one way or the other, just because, I don't know, it's different than it was when I was there. Things where I had a amazing coach in Scott, then I also had him the entire time I was at Sac State.
Right.
So from the moment that my feet landed on Sac State soil, I was always improving steadily every year. And those small improvements every year that you can build upon, they add up. And, you know, I stepped on Sac State soil running 210 and came out a 202 athlete, you know, and all of that. I will tell you, we had no magical training. He was just a very consistent coach that we showed up, we worked hard, we went home, and we did it again the next day. So I don't know. It's tough to say. It's just so hard though too, because even if you're coaching someone and you're trying to like push them to the program that's best for them, it's not to say that that coach might leave the next year, you know? So even at that time, it might be the best decision, but you just never know what's coming. So at the end of the day, we all still need to know, why is it that we run, and then make that decision of whether you want to keep working hard and pursuing that goal here or maybe somewhere else. Maybe it is time to transfer. Again, for me at Cal Poly, I needed to get out of there because I was like sinking. So it's hard. There's no like one clear answer how to pick a program and when to stay or not stay and make a change.
Yeah, for sure. I never thought about that perspective. I'm really glad that you shared that, because I think you instilled that in Chloe and Amanda, and they were able to run good for anyone. And I think the guys, we were just so like, it's sorry for ourselves that it was like, well, I can only run good for Evie. And Blake was like, well, I can only run good for Harmon, you know? And we were so caught up on that when if we would have took your perspective, and like, you obviously had a huge influence on Chloe and Amanda, and they ran well for everyone. And I think, you know, all these coaches, are their philosophies are all good. You know, their styles may vary in the way that they encourage you. And I think everyone loves Abbott because he makes it feel so relaxed and fun, but it's very serious. But I think if we would have had someone on our side, on the guy's side, to just instill that perspective in us of like, do you want it? Then you can still do it. It doesn't matter like what the circumstance is. I think the guy's team would have been, you know, just as good as the girls. Cause when you look at the talent, it was just like, to me, it just seems like the girls team were just mentally tougher than everyone, but maybe than the guys, I should say. But I think maybe they just had a better perspective, and maybe they had a better senior class that took them under their wings when they were freshmen.
Yeah, it's, you know, in team culture is everything too. That's another thing is, and even I've learned this now coaching at the high school level.
Yeah.
Your team is as good as your leaders on your team. And it is night and day difference what you're going to get out of an athlete in their workouts, and even what you get on race day, based off of who do you have as your team captains and how is their work ethic. And really crazy. That is something like I need to write a letter to Scott. Like, I had no idea what you dealt with as a coach, like from the top down. So,
yeah.
Really, really crazy to shift from that one perspective that you have as an athlete when the world is about you, to now being a coach and seeing like the dynamics of a team in its entirety. So yeah, you know, I'm not going to take credit for Chloe and Amanda in that attitude at all, because they themselves were just amazing and cultivating that that just hardworking, just determined culture that the women's side had, you know. But I also came into Sac State when they were kind of, when those women that were here already shaped and molded me in that way.
Yeah.
So I had women that transferred in the year that I came in that were coming from the University of Oregon. Mm-hmm. We had another runner from New Mexico, Caprice Bradshaw. So these girls were coming from serious programs and showing me this mentality of a serious student athlete that I had never seen in my life.
Right.
I hadn't seen it at Cal Poly. I hadn't seen it in high school when I was the best one on the team. And absolutely, I learned things from my teammates about what levels of training were out there that were not a part of my life and I had not seen, you know. And I would say our teammate, Erin Lewis, who was coming from University of Oregon, she brought that just atmosphere of competitiveness and hard work and diligence and all the little things to our program. And, you know, again, that was just kind of like luck of the draw, you know, mercy of the Lord. Like,
yeah,
we came in at the right time, you know, that we had Scott as our coach, and then suddenly all of these amazing transfers that had changed the dynamic of the program.
Yeah, totally. And it's like, there's always, you know, I always have to like just take a step back whenever I think something is like not going right, because I know that it's always just kind of God at work. Because my senior year outdoors at Sac State, I was just like, God, you know, like my main thing is running, and I can't really say like why I came here. And like 3 weeks later, I met Morgan. And it was like, oh, okay, that's why I came here.
Exactly, yeah. Right? You have a wife. And so, you know, he sees the bigger picture. We get so caught up in like the small details of it. And really, you know, our responsibility as athletes or as Christians is just to take the next step. You know, you wake up and you do what you're supposed to do that day, and the rest is God's plan. So honestly, yeah, he opened doors. He brought me to Sac State, and I just was trying to be the best steward with what he gave me on that given day. So I can't take credit for any of the successes there, for real. Like, again,
I think you literally paced Amanda to her 800 PR though through like 600 meters. So you're just humble.
Again though, she still had to go run the time. She had to stick. She had to stick. So but you know, it's a lot easier too, again, to have that environment, to have that culture and people just pursuing the same goal than to be up against the grain, you know, when you kind of come into a negative atmosphere and we're not sharpening each other in those ways.
Yeah.
So
for sure. So talk to us a little about going pro, like, because I'm sure it was different back then than it is now. And how did you like wind up with Nike? Did you have any other offers? And like, what was that whole process like? And then just kind of how your career went for those 4 years?
Yeah. So it all happened really fast for me. You know, honestly, going into my senior year, I was really stressed out because I wanted to like interview for jobs, right? Like right. Graduating, you want to go make sure that you can like eat after school. And again, my parents were not the type to entertain this like college and running thing. Like, are you kidding me? Like, that is a fun hobby for you, Leah, but we are not going to pay your bills.
Yeah.
So, I knew that I needed really a sponsorship if I wanted to continue running after college. And if I didn't have a sponsorship or have a way to make that happen, then I needed to work.
Right.
And so here I was trying to run as fast as I could at the NCAA championships, because really that's what it is. You go to the NCAA championships. When you are in college, you are not allowed. I don't know how NCAA rules are now, but you're not allowed to talk to agents. You're not allowed to talk to shoe companies or anything. It's all NCAA violation. Right. So you have no conversations even with people to know if there is a future for you out there. And so it was just a stressful time, because it's like, what do? Do I interview for a regular job or do I just focus on running fast? And I just took a deep breath, mostly again, because I had Scott Abbott behind me, patting my back, telling me it was going to be okay. And I just ran as fast as I could and was able to sign with an agent at the NCAA championships. So once you're done competing, you're allowed to sign and start working out shoe contracts. So I signed with an agent. He told me that, and that's the thing, these agents know the athletes that shoe companies are interested in. And that's also why they come to you and they want to sign with you.
Right.
Right. Because they already know the conversations with shoe companies and whether or not shoe companies have deals on the table for athletes or not.
Yeah.
And so there were some offers, and for me, they weren't big offers, but they were going to be enough to keep me alive and keep me running. And that was all I needed. And I signed with Nike because I felt like it was the best one for me at that time. So I didn't necessarily understand all the fine print in shoe contracts, so I encouraged any athlete to read all of that through. Because, you know, there's a lot in those contracts that I would read now, and I never signed my life away in that.
Right, like, right.
So, yeah. I would say that's how it works for – that's how it was when I was in college. You went to the NCAA championships, ran as fast as you can, tried to sign with an agent. Agent would get you a shoe contract. And
crazy. I never knew that, because I always just thought of, like, the pressure of, yeah, I want to be All-American in track, or, like, I want to win nationals. And I never thought about the fact that, like, all these athletes might – all the seniors, I guess, might have in the back of their head, like, if I don't run well, I might not get signed. Like, literally, like, right after the race, people are going to get signed. Like, I never thought about that.
Yeah. And so even for me, I told you I doubled at nationals.
Right.
So I ran the 800 and I ran the 15. And it's tough to say, you know, I honestly don't even remember how I finished. I think I was fifth in the 800.
Mm-hmm.
But I was a favorite to win that year. So there was a lot of conversation like, well, would she have won if she didn't double? And because you run a lot of rounds. So you have to remember too, how many races I had in my legs from regionals to the final round, making it through all of the prelims, all of the semis, all of the finals for both events.
Yeah.
And it takes a toll on you.
Like, yeah, for sure.
I was tired, Christian.
Yeah. It probably also showed them that, like, dang, like, look what she did, even though she did both events, you know?
Yeah. But that's tough to say, too, though, because the one thing I will say is I was a basket case, was a head case. So I think that also always having that next race to focus on, like, where I couldn't sit down and, like, overthink things also got me to that point. Who's to say, without both events, whether or not I even made both finals? Right. I almost feel, even though I was physically fatigued, I think my ability to just compete was always better when I was just always in a steady flow of competition. So
yeah, that makes sense. It's distracting, I guess, because like you're able to think about the other race if you start overthinking the current one, I guess.
Yeah. So I always did really well doubling. It would have been better. Yeah, if I was that athlete that could just quiet my mind and focus on one race at a time. But I just wasn't. So that was kind of the protection that we put in. It was like, well, let's race her again. Don't let her overthink this. Boom. And then it was just better than it was for me to like sit and spin and maybe exhaust myself mentally, even though I might be physically rested. So I don't know how those things have changed for athletes now. I have seen that a lot of things have changed with NCAA rules and what they're allowing athletes to make or do in college, but they really were clinging to an amateur status when I was in college, and we were not allowed to do anything for profit, and we were not allowed to talk to agents, shoe companies, nothing. So
yeah,
it wasn't until you finished your final race, NCAAs, that you even started talking about a future.
Yeah, totally. So what would you say was like the highlight of your professional career? Like what was, I guess, your best race? What was the coolest, I guess, stadium or country you ever ran in? And also just like, what were your personal best, I guess?
Yeah. So I guess the coolest, I don't know. I had some really, really cool races in Europe, just being a rabbit. Yeah. I thought, I honestly liked being a rabbit more than I liked being like a competitor. I hate admitting that, but the money is really good.
Yeah. It's
always second place, whatever. If you're pacing a race in the Diamond League, you're guaranteed that second place prize money.
Dang.
Which is usually right around between like $5,000 and $8,000, right? So
yeah.
And you're guaranteed that. I don't even have to win it. Like I know I'm gonna make that. So
finish.
And you don't have to finish. And awesome. If you do a good job, everyone likes you.
Yeah.
So I would say like honestly, my coolest experiences were when I was pacing these really big races. So to this day, I think my favorite moment I had as a professional athlete was pacing the Prefontaine Classic in Eugene, and leading some of these women to sub-4 in the 1500.
Yeah, so, super cool.
Yeah, I know. I was on a 4x8 team that set the American record. It's since been broken, I think, twice now. Yeah. But it was Alicia Montano, Brenda Martinez, Ajay Wilson, and myself. And that was pretty cool.
Dang, I need to look that one up. I remember when you did that, but like, that's probably on YouTube. I need to rewatch that.
Yeah, I'm not sure, because I think it was, there's so many like rights and stuff, so I don't know if you can just pull up that stuff or not.
Maybe
they might try to charge you somewhere, that's all.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's some fast women right there. There's a bunch of girls that beat my high school time, basically. It's like, good lord.
They were really good. I don't even know how I got on that team, but I'm glad someone slipped me in there because it was fun.
So like, see, that's awesome. Yeah. What's like the highest you ever placed, like at USA's, and then what were your times as a professional?
I think my highest finish at USA's was ninth. I don't think I ever was beyond that. And then as a professional, I ran 2 flat 0.3 and 409. I don't even know. 409 something. What did I run any other distances? I think, yeah, I don't know. You're gonna have to look those things up because honestly, I never really paid that close of attention.
I don't
And I
be
don't want to
random.
be a liar, Christian. I know all this stuff is available online, so
Yeah, but I don't have internet, remember? So I'm like,
I don't know.
I just trust my interviewees. I knew you ran 2 flat 0.3. I knew that. Did you ever run, like, did they ever make you run the 5K or something back at Sac State?
Never on the track. I ran a 10K. I won that. That was cool. I remember I was gonna drop out halfway through because I was like, my coach will understand. It's so far. He'll just be proud that I made it through 5K. And then and then I was in the money. So I was like, no way. Like I if I can finish this and be up here, I am going to win money today. So that was cool. And I did it, Christian. I made it all the way to the end.
Yeah,
So
I've never done that. Like, I've done them when I was in junior college. I did it at conference, but it was like I could just jog it and win it because it was like one other team. And so I've never raced a 10K on the track. And it's just like, I hate it. Like, 25 laps, no way.
oh man, no. So my 10K again was a road race. I
There you
can't
go.
handle it. The longest distance I've ever done on a track would be like in a workout doing 3K distance, but I've never
I don't mind the
raced.
road. The road, like, it distracts me. I actually like road racing. Like, I'll do half marathons and stuff. But on the track, like, I even hate 5Ks on the track. It just, the track is for the mile and the half mile, and that's it.
So yeah, actually, road miles were my favorite thing to run as a professional. And there was a road mile in front of the Buckingham Palace that I got to race. And I had like Da Baba in my race. Who has those experiences? Isn't
What?
that the craziest thing?
Yeah,
I'm
that's
like,
the thing.
pinch me, you know?
Yep.
Very cool. So that might be my favorite experience actually, besides the pacing cool races.
Yeah, road miles are cool. I have yet to do an official one, but 2 days ago, me and David French, I don't know if you know who that is. He kind of like he was never officially on the Sac State team because of eligibility reasons, but we tried to break 4 downhill like 2 weeks ago, and we ran like 4:11. And I was like, "All right, that was stupid." And then I asked Morgan, I was like, "Hey, is there like a better hill?" And she's like, "Yeah, I used to do mile repeats with Katie Abbott and like Midori up this hill when I was a little kid." And I was like, "Okay." So we drove out. I ran 3:43, and David ran 3:45 for a full mile.
That is amazing. That's crazy. Were your quads just shredded after that?
They weren't. And then I was like, this is crazy. Like, that wasn't even hard. We were talking the whole time because it was like way too steep of a hill to like, it was like, it dropped like 400 feet in 1 mile.
That's
Yeah.
crazy.
And I was like, we're fine. The next day, me and David ran 19 miles. And I was like, I'm a little sore, but like, honestly, that was fine. I woke up this morning and my quads are destroyed. It was like,
So this was like a few days ago.
yep. This was
That
3 days
is
ago.
crazy.
So I'm super sore now. And yeah.
Oh.
I want to do a road mile that's not illegal because it's actually really fun. Like, I want to do a flat road mile.
For sure. I mean, I'm still surprised. I don't know. Does Sacramento have an official road mile or anything? Like you guys got to get that going.
No, they brought it back this year and then COVID happened. So like
Oh.
I was totally gonna do it, and then I'm gonna put one on for sure when all this stuff is over. That's gonna be like the first thing I do is create a road mile. And then yeah, I'd love to do those. I think it'd be amazing.
So fun. Yeah.
So let's transition to kind of get to your life now. What was like retiring like for you? Was it like hard to do, or were you just totally ready to be done with it? Or how did that go?
So going into 2016, I was super fit, and I actually ran like my fastest opener in that indoor season. So I thought I was going to break 2 minutes pretty easily.
Yeah.
And then my second race pulled my calf, like tore it completely. And so season done.
Yeah.
That's kind of how 2016 went for me. It was crazy. I'd never pulled a muscle like that before.
Yeah.
And there's no way to, like, you know, like, even if I'd had fractures in the past, and the nice thing about a fracture is you can kind of hold things together for a while.
Right.
You can kind of like run through that for at least a while, figure out like a race schedule where you can like get through the fracture. But that does not happen with a muscle pull. So
no, not at all.
That was pretty much what ended my professional career for me, because I was very just Olympic team minded, where I was committing myself from cycle to cycle, right? So I was having a hard time just wanting to gear up for another year of racing and training after the Olympic year, knowing that the next Olympic year is in 4 years. So
totally.
For me, I was just ready to just start making more career moves. And I decided to just heal, put the injury behind me. And I started working at Sac State and trying to figure out what I really wanted to pursue academically. So I had started working in the SARC there as a athlete mentor and working with the athletes, and that really set me on a path to I started thinking I wanted to be a counselor and pursue my master's in counseling and work there. So yeah, I am kind of this personality where I don't multitask very well. I only do what I'm doing at that time. Like, I just put all my marbles in that basket. And so when I got to Sac State and I started working in the SARC, I just kind of went full bore there. And I was not training hardcore anymore.
Right.
So yeah, I always have stayed fit though too. Like, it's funny, I quote unquote retired, but I kind of didn't, right? Like, I have always continued to train, coach, work. You know, so it's one of those things, if I ever come back, Christian, you know, was I really retired? Not really. I don't know. Like, if people are like, whoa, look at the comeback. I was like, it's running is such like a lifestyle for me. I don't know. The only difference between how I approach it now and how I did as a professional is I'm just not as rigid to like a schedule right now, you know.
Totally.
But,
yeah.
But I still get it in when I get it in. Don't worry about me. I'm out there running miles in that baby jogger. People are like, who's that? Like, you don't even know. You don't even know.
It's impossible to retire. Like, I tried it, and I literally didn't run for 2 months. And then one day I was just driving home from work, and I was like, it was already February, and I called my dad, and I was like, you think I can break two by May? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, all right. And I trained for like 11 weeks, and I ran like 158.9, and then I'm
like, that's awesome.
I'm gonna keep running, because like, this is stupid. Like, I just can't stop. But
yeah,
you know, until something like makes me stop, I'm probably never going to. And like, I'm weird to where like, I'm totally middle distance. I've always been a miler since I was like even in middle school, but like, I actually like marathon training. So it's just like, hey, if I don't have speed anymore, I'll train for marathons. Like, I just don't care. Like, I'm not going to stop. And I,
that is so good.
Well, the fact that I coach people too, like, it gets me so excited. I'm like, well, Allison's training for a marathon. Like, Morgan wants to do half marathons, and she's an 800 runner. Like, you know, it's just,
oh yeah,
there's always time to run, I think. Like, and we don't have a kid yet, but I'm sure my feelings will change when we do, and I'm like way more tired. But right now, I'm just like, nah, I'm gonna train forever.
No, I think you're still gonna train, and I think you should, you know. And it's just to say, running is still a very big part of my life. It just looks different, you know. It's looked different in every stage of it. And I have professional athlete friends, you know, that I've made over the years, and they're still running, they're still pursuing, I guess it'd be Tokyo 2021 now.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're always wondering, like, Leah, how did you know? When did you know to just walk away and be done? And I don't know, but once you get to that point, that's when you walk away. And if you even have like an inkling that you still want to be in it, then be in it, you know, keep doing it. Don't hang it up unless you're ready. Okay. So I would never encourage a premature retirement for anyone.
Yeah, for sure.
But because I have the personality that I have, which is, you know, like now that I have my daughter, she's my number one and everything's going to her, you know, I commend women that are able to do it all. I just am not wired in that way. And so I knew that once I started my family and those things, that because I just don't know how to divide my time, I didn't want to be a professional athlete anymore.
Yeah, totally. And you know what? If you ever decide to train, you might find that it goes like really well, because it sounds like you're kind of similar to me, where you would have kind of like the mental things get to you when you had a race, right? Like something would, you need a distraction, right? And like when I got married and had like responsibilities and bills to pay and like a wife to take care of, and started thinking about like, oh, I need to be able to get a house and like we definitely want to have kids and all this stuff, like weirdly enough, my running got like way better. And it was because I didn't care about it anymore. It was just like, well, I just crushed that workout and like I wasn't even thinking about it, you know? So for some people, I think it's almost like, even though there's no way you should be better because you're definitely more tired from all these things you're doing, but your mind is like so free that you just run good. Like, it's just like, well, it doesn't matter. Like, I still have my husband, I still have my baby girl. Like, I'm just going to go run as hard as I can. And then all of a sudden you run crazy fast. And you're like, well, that was weird, you know?
It's so funny. My husband, he, maybe it's reverse psychology. He's trying to like inspire me in some way, but he told me the other day that he does not think I can run 220 in the 800.
Yeah.
And so I was like, are you for real right now? Who did I marry? You are crazy. So I am on a mission, Christian, to prove this man wrong and show him that I can break 220 in the 800. Are you kidding me?
That's totally, like, he's totally doing that on purpose, because I do that to Morgan. I'll be like, you know, like, this girl that I coach that, like, used to be way slower than you has, like, the same 5 you now, right? And she'd be like, I'm training. Like, I'm starting my training tomorrow. And I'm like, well, that was easy.
Yeah, you're probably right. So anyways, in the coming weeks, I'll give you an update and I'll let you know if I broke 220 in the 800.
You better.
I'm just wondering, like, really? Are you serious? Like, I feel like it shouldn't be that hard. Like, maybe, again, I know, I get it. Childbearing does something to your body, but am I, like, underestimating what it does? I'm still out there running, so...
Hey, if you ask Alyssa Montaño, she'll tell you it makes you faster, so.
Exactly. I'm going to ask Alicia and be like, Alicia, okay, how hard is it? What do you think you can run in the 800 right now? I guarantee you she's going to say something like, oh, I can run 210. At least. Yep. Okay? So if she can run like 210, I feel like I can run 220. Okay?
Well, you have to run 219, though.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant.
You got to break.
I'm gonna run 219, so we'll see.
Well, let's just say congratulations on getting married and having your baby girl. What year did you get married, and how old is your daughter?
Oh man, my daughter is only 6 months old.
Oh my gosh.
And I was married in December of 2018.
Very cool. Well, she is gorgeous. Morgan said to tell you that she's beautiful.
And thank you. She's actually really fast too already. She already started crawling and she started standing up, like pulling herself up in her crib like last night. Yeah. And I was just like, Tokyo 2021, here we come. Here we come. One of the Carvalhos is going to make it there. If it's not me, it's her.
With you and your husband being coaches, I'm sure you guys are like timing her crawls and seeing if they're getting faster.
I actually make her do push-ups if she wants a meal. So.
Yeah. Me and Morgan talk about that all the time. We're like, you know what? Morgan's so much faster than my mom ever was. So I was like, there's no reason why our kids shouldn't be faster than us. So, you know, maybe the Olympics.
It's, again, you never know. Again, my daughter really likes music. She might just turn out to be like a really musical person. I don't know. But of course, I wouldn't complain if she turned out to be a really fast track athlete and gave me some excuses to spend more time at the track. So
definitely. Hopefully like our kids race. That would be
incredible. I know.
That would be so cool.
Well, it's so funny because there's so many women that I trained with and competed with that are now having babies. And you're like, this is like the next generation of like track athletes. You know, like I see Lauren Wallace's little baby Emmy on there, and Latavia Thomas, who was an All-American the 800, she's got a baby. So it's just like Alicia Montaño just had her baby. All of these are all the same age. They're all gonna have to like race each other.
Yep. Everyone thinks about that in the back of their head. They're just like, oh, it's so beautiful, you know, the gift of life. And then you're like, I wonder how fast that kid's gonna be though.
Can you put a watch on it? Put a watch on it. You never know.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for coming on and catching up and sharing a lot of your personal story with us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it was fun. I hope that you guys continue to stay safe and healthy. And I'm looking forward to watching your athletes run fast when we get back to the road.
You too. Thank you.